Okay, let me just share a few words, a closing thought. First of all, I want to thank Rabbi Dov Winston for putting together this wonderful program, and everybody at REITS, and for you for joining us for this really terrific program. I just want to share a thought from this coming week's Parsha. A point that really strikes me when we're reading Parshas Vayigash and Parshas Vayechi. You know, the reality is that Vayigash is really the highlight of the story of Yosef and his brothers. You know, if you're putting together Sefer Bereishis, it's a little anticlimactic. It's really a little anticlimactic. You really get, obviously, the entire story breaks at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash. What is going to happen? Yehuda steps forward. Yosef can't hold back. Ani Yosef, ha'od avi chai. One of the most dramatic moments in all of Tanakh occurs at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash. The question is, what's left? What's left to finish up Sefer Bereishis? So we know, of course, we have the death of Yaakov. We know, of course, we have the brachos of Yaakov. But it's also the end of the story of Yosef and his brothers in a very powerful way. The story of Yosef and his brothers does not end in Parshas Vayigash. And I think that it holds for us a very, very powerful lesson. I want to just take a few moments to look with you at the final interactions in the text between Yosef and his brothers, and specifically to try to understand what's going on in Yosef's mind. We know that in Vayigash, it's a very powerful exchange, and we don't know really what's going to be. I mean, as a reader, and in order to be able to understand any story, and in order to be able to understand Tanakh as well, you can't know the answer. You can't know the end of the story as you're reading it. To experience it, to understand the drama of the story, you have to read it as if it's the first time you're reading it. I remember when I was in second grade in Yavna Academy in Paterson, New Jersey. And I remember distinctly for the first time learning the story of the Akedah. And the Mora specifically left off with the knife in the air. The knife in the air above Yitzchak. And I remember coming home and crying. What's going to happen to Yitzchak? I had no idea. The whole thing was out in front of us, but I had no idea what was going to be. And my parents tried to assure me, I think we've heard the story. It's going to be okay. But you can't really appreciate the Akedah unless you don't know what happens at the end. So you can't really appreciate this story unless you know what's going to happen. If I'm the brothers, if I'm the Shvatim, I'm pretty sure Yosef will kill me. Pretty sure Yosef will somehow wreak havoc in our lives because of what we did. And Yosef, of course, takes the high road. Lo atem shlachtem osi heina ki ha'elokim. He immediately tries to reassure them. He brings them close. Chazal tell us they can't stand the moment of tochacha. Yosef does everything he can to try to say, it's okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this. This wasn't you. It's okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up. I'm not going to take revenge on you. This is all for the good. For some reason, Yosef doesn't seem to take revenge on his brothers. Yosef doesn't seem to go right to Yaakov and tell him upon his meeting with him what happened. We don't know. Rashi on the brachos this week seems to indicate that at least in terms of Ruach HaKodesh, Yaakov knew to give Musar. He knew to give Musar to Shimon and Levi. Did Yaakov ever really know what happened? But after that very, very tense moment, we assume things normalized between Yosef and the brothers. They went on to normal life. They didn't understand why Yosef was okay with it. They didn't understand why Yosef was ready to move on. But Yosef seemed to be ready to move on. And then in this week's Parsha, there's one more section. Such a powerful thing happens. Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim Ahu Ve'achav V'chol Ha'olim Motolik Boras Aviv Acharei Kavros Aviv. They get back to Egypt. The funeral's over. Yaakov has passed. And now it's just Yosef and the brothers. Vayiru Achei Yosef Kimeis Avihem. The brothers are, they saw, it's an interesting word here. They saw, but it means they perceived. The brothers understood that their father was dead. Vayomru Lu Yistameinu Yosef. Maybe now it's coming. Yosef's a human being. He's going to have to take revenge on us in some way. Maybe he was just waiting. He didn't want to put his father through the agony. Maybe he's going to do it now. V'hashev yashiv lanu es kol ara'a asher gamalnu oso. Maybe now we're going, Yosef's really going to do it to us. V'yitzavu el Yosef lemor avicha tziva lifnei moso. And they lie. They lie. They make up a lie to tell Yosef. Avicha tziva lifnei moso lemor. They say, Yosef, your father, Yaakov, our father said the following. Kosom ruli Yosef, ana sana fesha achicha vechatasam ki ra'a gemalucha. Yosef, parting words from your father. Please forgive your brothers. Forgive the evil that they did to you. Ve'ata sana lefesha avdi elokei avicha. Vayefk Yosef bedabram elav. And Yosef cries again. Why does Yosef cry when the brothers tell him that Yaakov had instructed that he be forgiven? There could be a lot of reasons. We know Yosef's a big crier. He cries on you. He cries on Yosef, on Yaakov's shoulders. He cries on us. He's a big crier. He's a sensitive guy. And he's crying again. Why is Yosef crying when the brothers come to him and they say, your father instructed us to tell you to forgive him? You wonder, did Yosef believe the brothers? Maybe the reason why Yosef is crying is because he knows his brothers are lying. And after all of these years, they're still lying. They still don't trust him. They still have to go back to their old ways. He's moved on, but they haven't. Maybe he's crying because they suspect him. Maybe because he's crying because he's saying to himself, what else could I do to repair this family? I let it go. Vayomar Elohim Yosef, sorry, Vayelchu gam echav, Vayiplu lefanav, Vayomru hinenu lechol avadim. They bow down and they say, we are going to be your servants. They're terrified of him. They say, we give ourselves up to you. Vayomer aleihem Yosef al tira'u. Yosef says, don't be afraid. Ki hasachas elokim ani. He says, don't be afraid because I'm not God. I'm not God. I'm not in place of God. Ve'atem chashavtem alai ra'a, elokim chashava l'tova, l'man asog hayom hazeh l'hachayos amrav. He says, don't worry. He gives him the same line that he gave him before. You may have intended something, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had this whole thing set up. It's not for me to decide. It's not for me to decide if you should be forgiven or not. Ve'ata al tira'u anochi achalkem eschem ve'estabchem ve'yenachem esom ve'edaber eliba. Period. But we still don't know why Yosef was crying. And we still don't know exactly what he means when he says, Hasachas Elokim Ani. Years ago, when I was reading this parsha, it occurred to me that although everything is never written in the text, and although it's hard to infer from what's not in the text, because obviously they had hundreds of conversations that aren't recorded in Tanakh, but there's one conversation that you would think that if they had that conversation, it would have been recorded in the Chumash. Rabosai, read again Parshas Vayigash. Read this week Parshas Vayechi. The brothers never apologize to Yosef. the brothers never apologize to Yosef. They express horror. They're scared. They say to Yosef, please don't punish us. They recognize that they're deserving of punishment. But the brothers never say, we're sorry for what we did. There's a difference between saying, don't punish me, and forgive me. There's a very big difference. We know that when a little kid gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar. When a little kid gets caught doing something that mommy or daddy or Abba or Ima told him not to do, the initial reaction of the child is, don't punish me. It's not just a little child. I'm sure you've had teenage interactions like that as well. When you've done something wrong, how do you respond? You don't want to be punished. And in fact, in this case, they're willing to be punished. They say, Hinenu lecha avadim. They recognize they did something wrong. They're willing to be his slaves. But never in the Chumash do they ever face him one-to-one and say, we're sorry. Now, it could very well be that they did say they're sorry many times on many occasions. And it could be that for some reason the Chumash didn't record that. But this is not about the brothers. It's about us. It's not about accusing the brothers, because who knows what they said and they didn't say. But how many times when we wrong someone, do we do our best to just make it right? Do we want it to just go away? Do we want to just move forward? Do we want to say, Hinenu l'chala avadim, tell me what I could do to make it up. Tell me what I could do to get out of this uncomfortable situation. But that's very different from simply saying, I'm sorry. When I ask you what I can do to make it up, when I ask you for that, I'm doing it for me. Because I feel terrible. I feel horrible for what I did. You're doing me a favor by letting me know what I can do to make it up. But what about you? What about the fact that I hurt you? What about the fact that you're a person? What does Yosef say? Vayomer aleihem Yosef, al tira'u, don't be afraid. Ki hatachat Elokim anochi. Am I in place of God? And the clear pshat of the pasuk means that it's not my place to punish you. It's not my place to give you a punishment, to tell you how to make it up. That's all in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. You work that out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether you did right or you did wrong. But Yosef also says, I'm not God. I'm a human being. And it doesn't seem to me in the story, at least, that they address him in that way, that they approach him in that way, not as the viceroy of Egypt, and not as someone who they, just as the person that they wronged, an apology. There is no doubt that when we apologize to someone in a genuine way, we do feel better. But we often don't apologize for ourselves. We ask for how to make it up so that we could do it for ourselves. But we don't usually apologize, because very often the apology is more important than anything else we can do to make it up. Again, perhaps the brothers did. Perhaps I'm misreading the text. But it certainly seems from the text that we're supposed to learn this lesson. That when we've wronged someone, whether it's someone in our community, someone in our family, whether it's a single person, whether it's a group of people, don't forget to just say you're sorry. Hatachas Elokim Anochi. We're not dealing with gods. Chas v'shalom. We're dealing with people. People with feelings. And as we read through this story, I always think about the fact that, at least in the text, the brothers never say they're sorry. Wish everyone a good day off tomorrow, as with your day off today. I don't know why. Why don't we have a program tomorrow, too? I'm not sure.
It's Erev Shabbat, and Shabbat is early.
It's Erev Shabbat, and Shabbat is early. So everybody should chazer the halachos of getting ready for Shabbos tomorrow. Everything else, I want to thank all the speakers for making this wonderful opportunity. And we look forward again very soon. The internet And Zoom particularly has completely changed our ability to be able to learn together and to be together. And we hope that we'll have many of these opportunities in the coming years to be together. Thanks, everybody.